thinking today about prayer. How do you see prayer? How does it feature in your life? Perhaps for some of us, prayer can be a bit like taking a car breakdown policy out. We know it's important for emergencies, but we don't give it a second thought until we need it. A couple of years ago, I was given the pleasure of driving my son's car. It was sort of much bigger than mine, and you know, I was driving along. But as I was driving along the A34, coming back from John Lewis, there was this peculiar noise. Now, I'm no mechanic. I'm so grateful that Christine, we are related, when she married John, brought someone with mechanical knowledge into my sphere, into my family. But I knew enough that I shouldn't be stopping on the dual carriageway of the A34. So I limped, well, the car limped off, and I pulled up somewhere in Alderley Edge, I don't know if you know it. And I thought, my son being the efficient person he is bound to have a breakdown, and it will hopefully be in the glove box. And it was, complete with a little credit card thing that said, phone this number. So out comes my mobile phone, and I phone, and I explain, it's not my car, but the owner's got it, the breakdown with you. Oh yes, that's fine, where are you? And I said, well, I'm somewhere, I didn't even know the number of the road. And I said, well, there's a tree with, what's it here? Hang on, I can see it, I'm outside number, whatever. And we really weren't getting anywhere. And then she said, do I have your permission to locate where you are using your phone? And I'm sort of thinking, hey, I didn't know they could do this. I said, yes, go ahead. And so eventually the car break, the AA chap comes and he sorts things out. How do you view prayer? Is it like taking out a breakdown cover? Good to know we can call on God in an emergency. Hope that when we get in touch with God, he will somehow locate us where we are and what's happening in our lives, and come to our aid and sort things out. Have you ever thought that it seems to work for other people, but when I try it, it doesn't seem to work for me? And I'm sure I'm not the only person who's prayed so hard for a sick person to get well, but in the end they died. I know I ought to pray, you might be thinking, but where to begin? I think it's fair to say that prayer isn't an easy thing to do, because if you go into a Christian bookshop or you go onto the internet, there are hundreds of books about prayer. And that says to me that there are probably hundreds of ways in which we look at prayer and consider how we might pray in our minds. I've got a breakdown policy. I'm one of those people that I don't buy anything unless I go onto the Witch website. And I look and decide, when you go onto the Witch website, it tells you, first of all, look and see what sort of policy you need. I am not about to travel all around Europe, so I don't need European cover. But if I get up in the morning and the car won't go, I need home call-out. It tells me what to look for and how to choose the right product for my needs. And this morning's Bible reading is a bit like a witch guide to prayer. You see, the people that moved around with Jesus, they saw Jesus praying. So they got to thinking, if it's important to him, maybe it should be important to us. So they just went to Jesus and said, teach us how to do it. He didn't do like somebody might do with a group of children, hands together, eyes closed, or anything like that. He gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not particularly a prayer that Jesus prayed. After all, Jesus never had to pray for forgiveness like we do when we use the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's an example from Jesus of what our prayers should be like, what they should include, what we can be praying about. And then, as often happens with Jesus, having said something to the people who are listening to him, he goes on to tell them a story. And it's all about somebody getting a visitor late at night. And it's all about realising, well, my mother and my auntie, when they talked about a cousin that came once a year, the question always was, had you got a tin of salmon in? Yes, they knew it was all right then to make salmon sandwiches. This person wasn't bothered about a tin of salmon. They were bothered about having enough bread to give to the guests. I think this story could well go over our head if we don't take thought about what Eastern hospitality is like. In Eastern countries, people have to offer hospitality. It's part of the culture. My daughter is a health visitor, and she often visits immigrant families from places like Somalia, or maybe Afghanistan. And she said whenever she goes into a home, there's always some sort of offering, even if it's a drink. They feel obliged to offer hospitality. I'm not sure that we are quite like that, particularly with people like health visitors. You know, we just want to get rid of them as soon as we can, or any professional. But Eastern hospitality, it's there. And what a disgrace for someone to knock on your door, come in, and not have any bread, any food to offer them. So what do you do? It's rather like, say, 16 years ago, you knock on somebody's door and you say, can I borrow a cup of sugar? I feel like there's always a cup of sugar, but there we are. And so the person goes and knocks on the neighbour's door, wake up, I need bread, I've got a guest. Now I think the man inside wouldn't be unsympathetic, he'd be thinking, oh, God, it's not me, you know, what's he going to do? And there's this tussle, you know, well, don't bother me now, we're all in bed, we can't get up. Jesus tells this parable, and people will be listening to say, well, surely this man's got to feed his guests, and the neighbour's got to help. Jesus tells us this story because he wants us to understand. He wants us to talk to God, what's on our minds. The daily bread, we all have needs of one sort or another. We should be talking to God about them. How often, perhaps when we come to church somebody, or we meet somebody and they say, how are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. Why is that? We don't want to unburden ourselves. And we know really they don't want us to unburden ourselves. And I could think of someone I knew who wants you to say, how are we? Fine. You know, where do you go from there? You know, have you got the bravery to say, well, no, I'm not actually fine, because you know that person really didn't want to know. Jesus wants us to understand we should see God as someone we can talk to. Say how we really feel about the things that are going on in our lives. So we begin to get the message from this parable that Jesus told, that prayer is about talking to God. But he goes on to say something of how we must do it. Jesus talks about asking, seeking, knocking. And we get the message when we think about the meaning behind those words, that Jesus is saying that prayer is more than a polite tap on the door. Okay, God, can I have a word, you know, if you're too busy, come back, or I'll sort it. It's more than a casual tap on the door. It's more than a casual hint that we need to have a word about things. Jesus said we should ask and seek and knock. And he said, ask and it will be given to you. And this is linked with the idea of almost begging, a real desire for an answer, a persistent request, that knocking on the door, waiting for the neighbour to answer. Jesus is saying that's how our prayer should be like. If we're really wanting to talk to God, then we need to be asking. And when we would perhaps say, try it, doesn't work for me. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and they were not in a good place. And I said, would you like me to pray with you? Yes, okay. And then at the end, they just said, does it work? I said, well, I believe it works. I said, I can see that perhaps you don't. And sometimes perhaps we're called to be in that situation when we say, I'll pray about it, even if that person doesn't believe, we believe. And perhaps when we say prayer doesn't work, what we're really saying is, we didn't get the answer we are looking for. Jesus is saying, ask. Keep on praying, not just for the midnight emergencies. Talks about seek and you will find. Now when we're seeking for something, it's usually because we've lost something and we want to find it. Is it just when you reach a certain age, when you seem to spend more time looking for something, seeking for something? And I don't know how you seek or look for things, but if it's in the house, I generally wander around and I know it's there and I can't see it. Jesus is saying, seek and you will find. It's not just about looking for something. The idea behind this seeking is a sort of thinking, questioning, an intensity, figuring things out. And as we're doing that, we can talk to God about it. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus said, knock and the door will be opened. Again, it's not just a casual tap on the door. We get the picture from the listener's story, as Harvey told, that it's a continued demanding, I need the bread, I need you to help me. Persistence in prayer is not necessarily an attempt to change God's mind. But it will get us to the place where we can be trusted with the answer. I spent probably about 10 years, I call it walking along by my husband's side as he gradually subsided into what happens when you have dementia, when you have Alzheimer's. And one day, you can imagine, I pray lots. And one day, my prayer changed. And I just said to God, if it's time for my husband to die, he wasn't dying in that sense, then I'm willing to accept that. God had brought me to the place where he trusted me with the answer that was. It so happens my husband died about a week later. It's not an attempt to change God's mind, but sometimes that persistence, that constant asking, seeking and knocking, God will bring us to a place where we're ready to receive the answer. It may not be the one that we want, but it's the one in the overall plan for our lives that God will use to work for our good. I don't want you to think that I'm experienced at prayer. I'm the sort of person that can rush ahead without asking God if it's the right thing to do. I might sit and I might read my Bible, but instead of stopping to think, oh, look at the time, and off I go. and dash and say and do. I don't always take time to question, is this what you want me to do today, God? I wish I could pray as well as other people seem to do. Think of the hymns that we sing. I think there's a wonderful hymn and it starts off, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all that the works of thy hand, and so it goes on, all about creation. That's like a prayer. For me, I just look out of the window like I've done over the last week or so, the wonderful sunset, and say, God, thanks for the sight of that wonderful sunset. I'm not very good at putting it into the right sort of words. It doesn't matter. And I do sometimes doubt if God's ever going to answer my prayers. And I would love it if God just answered the prayer the way that I think it should be answered. I want to take you back to my breakdown, because I'm still in the middle of holding to the edge. And somebody once told me he was training to be a tradesman, and he came and gave me a quote. I said, oh, perhaps you can come and do the job. He said, well, I have to do what all tradesmen do. He said, I have to stroke my chin. And I said, stroke your chin? He said, oh yes, all tradesmen, they stroke their chin and say, dear, I'm not sure how that is. Well, I don't know whether my breakdown chap stroked his chin, but the news wasn't good. I couldn't drive the car home. Not to worry, he had this wonderful lorry that pulled the car on the back, and he said, all you have to do is sit in the car. Can't turn the wheel. Can't turn the steering wheel. That was an alien concept to me. He said, just watch me. When you see my brake lights go on, just touch your brake to warn the traffic behind. And that's all I did from all to the edge to the garage at Biddeford. It was a weird experience, I tell you. Yes, it was exciting. I don't know why I want to repeat it again. Just holding onto the steering wheel, because I didn't know what else to do in the hands anyway. And I had to give it a little twiddle because it was a reaction. Trusting the driver in front to get me home. That's a bit like prayer sometimes, where God says, trust me. All you have to do to trust, I will get you to the place where you need to be. Ask, seek, and knock. Right at the end of the reading that we had, it talks about being a good parent. It talks about a child-parent relationship, and it goes something like, which of you parents, if your child asks you for something, would you give him a scorpion? Or ask for bread, would you give him a stone? We all, those of us who are parents, like to think we'd be a good parent. And this is not the... Am I losing the sound? I've got to shout up. It's a cue I need to be finishing, and I'm almost finishing. We all like to think we could be a good parent. And I can look round and see that some of you are at that point. You're struggling to be a good parent. You're struggling to cope. And when you get to 18 and your child says, well done mum, well done dad, thank you for all you've done, and you sort of think, oh, I got it right. Prayer is like a parent-child relationship. A child has to trust a parent. And sometimes a parent has to say, quietly, you've got it wrong there, son, daughter. Let's talk about this. Let's put things in perspective. It's prayer that nourishes my spiritual relationship with God. And I want to encourage each one of us to consider that this morning. It isn't about constantly repeating the Lord's Prayer. Have you noticed when you see a film when somebody's in trouble? I was watching on the other week, and suddenly they feel obliged to start reciting the Lord's Prayer, and they probably haven't said it since they were way down here at nursery school. It isn't about that. not reciting the Lord's Prayer. It's taking the hint. We talk to God about the things that are in our lives that concern us. Concern us. It's different for each one of us. I'm going to invite us just to pray now. I might be saying things that are relevant to you, I may not. Lord, would you teach me to pray? I'm not sure how praying is going to work for me in the situation I'm facing at the moment. But Lord, I'm willing to give it a go. And Lord, I want to remind you, there's something I've been asking about for a long time. I've got to the point where I'm almost fed up of asking, of seeking and knocking. Would you help me to be persistent? And bring me to a place where I'm ready for the answer that you want to give me. And Lord, in this moment of quietness, I just want to, in my mind, in my heart, tell you about the things that are bothering me at the moment. And Lord, I want to thank you for the things you bring into my life that bring me joy and pleasure and give me a sense of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.